everybody to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Juwanza for Life. Oh, man, it's a great day to be alive. I'm just so very, very happy, excited, and ready to share some powerful information with you that hopefully, if listened to and acted upon, can actually enhance the quality of your life, can change your life, could even save your life. I love bringing you guests that have that ability, that they're coming with information that is so powerful, that it's life-changing and life-saving. When you meet people like that, it's a joy talking to them. It's a pleasure talking to them. I can't get enough of them. And so if you've been a regular follower of the show, you know that once a month we are really blessed to have as our special guest King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. I mean, this is a powerful brother here, filled with knowledge, filled with compassion, filled with empathy, and loves to share. And so I'm just grateful, humbled, honored to have my brother on once a month. And, you know, to all of the new listeners, I guarantee you, you're going to be in for a treat today. Also, speaking of new listeners, I just want to thank all the new listeners for tuning in. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Juwanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's truly an honor to be able to bring this information to you. Thank you so much for the feedback, and thank you so much for sharing this information. By doing so, just by sharing the information, you never know who the information is going to reach. You never know what life is going to be changed as a result of you sharing the information. We put this information out over the airwaves. We have no clue whose ears this information is going to fall on, and somebody's life can be changed. And if you shared the link, then you played a part in that. If somebody's life gets changed and saved as a result of you sharing the link, then you played a part in that, you know. So I just want to encourage you to keep sharing, and thank you so much for taking the time to listen and to share. Again, welcome. Well, let me get to my special guest. Brother King Coy Dunstan has been on this holistic health path for over 37 years. That's right. I said over 37 years. There are a lot of people that have, in recent years, gotten into it and may have taken a course or something, and, you know, now they consider themselves to be healers. But and I'm not taking anything away from taking courses in holistic health. Definitely, by all means, do that. But Brother Coy was doing this before it was popular. I mean, it seems like in our community it's catching on, and in recent years it's you know, caught on. But before it caught on, Brother Coy was doing. He's one of the reasons why in the D.C. area it's been catching on. And I'm just so blessed to, again, to be able to bring him to. He's got an awesome, awesome testimony. For those of you who don't know why you're listening to him, because, you know, people always want to know, well, why am I listening to this person when I'm listening to somebody? What makes them the expert? Well, King Coy Dunstan's got a testimony that's out of this world, and I want to share him with you right now. Brother Coy, thank you so much for being my guest again today. Brother, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm excited about another positive, powerful, life-changing show that we've got lined up for the listeners today.
Good evening to you and your audience and the listeners. Good to be back with you and your family. Pray you all well, and God bless you all.
Thank you, sir. Everybody's doing well, and again, I'm just excited to be able to have another opportunity to share with our listeners you and the information that you're going to be bringing that can actually save a life, enhance a life, change a life. And so today we're going to be talking about chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, also known, more commonly known as COPD. But Brother Coy, again, I ask that you always, you know, I'm always asking to give you a testimony, but there are people that might not have heard it before. It's very powerful. It's actually moving. And, you know, what's interesting about the testimony that you give is, you know, you give it, and it takes a few minutes just to give it, but that's the short version. You know, within that testimony that you're going to hear, everybody, there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of prayer that went into it, a lot of faith that went into it, a lot of research that went into it, a lot of love that went into it. And again, you'll be able to hear it when you hear the testimony. Brother Corey, could you share with the listeners, again, how you got started in this field of holistic healing? Because as I mentioned, it's become kind of popular lately, more recently in the black community. People are catching on to it. But before, you were doing it. I mean, you were doing it decades ago. Again, almost 40 years ago, you know, you started on this path when nobody else was doing it, or very, very few people were doing it. You didn't have many peers in this field back then. What got you started on this?
Well, I was at a time in my life when I was at a turning point. I just graduated from law school. I was deciding what I wanted to do with myself and how did I want to do this. And I just happened to go home to kind of reflect and sit back. And when I got there, my mother said she had just left the doctor, and the doctor told her to go to Duke University the next morning as fast as she could so he could complete some tests that he didn't have the ability to do where we live. So the next morning, my father and I got up and took up to Duke University in Durham, Duke University Hospital, and we were there all day. They did the tests, and at the end of the day, they came back and say, well, we're going to keep her. We think we have picked up traces of cancer in the breast, the colon, and the liver. So with that, we kind of, my father and I went back home and slept that night and was back up the next day. And the next day, the conversation just developed into, you know, what we were going to do and confirming what the doctors found. And about 2 weeks after that, I guess, The doctors gave my mother an ultimatum of to whether or not she should take chemotherapy or go home. And I say, well, she asked me what would I do if I was her. And I say, well, I would probably just pick my stuff up and go home and get ready to meet my maker, you know. Strangely enough, she took my advice. So about a week later, we were out and back home. And after that, I felt an obligation to work with her. She had, when you get the news that you have a terminal disease, it kind of shakes you, and you go through some psychological and physiological and all kind of changes. So I was there to try to help her through that, and as a result, I felt an obligation to find out what else could be done, and started looking into the holistic industry field and found that they had the information and the material that you needed to really turn disease into health. So I got involved in that, and I learned all I could about it and what to use and for cancer and all of that, and made up a little program, and we learned about fasting. We learned about how to get back into touch with your spirit and soul through fasting, how to change the diet and what to change it to. All of those things we kind of worked out in a kind of week or so. And after that, we were fasting and juicing and doing honey and all the kind of stuff we could find to make a difference. And that went on fine, and she began to stabilize and got her head back on and decided to live. And after about a month or so after she had gotten out of the hospital, I had joined this company called Nature Sunshine, and they came up with this new herb that was out of Mexico that was reputed to empty the cancer wards, called Pardiaco. So I got my hands on some of that and started giving her that, and say at the end of 90 days, the doctors were amazed, I was amazed, and she lived 10 years after that, and I've been doing this ever since. So it's kind of my life calling, and this is what I do, and this is what I've been doing. We've learned how to assist people that want to learn how to do this through whatever process they want to go through. And so far we've had pretty good results with it. So this is what I do, and this is what I've been doing, and I'll continue to do probably till I die.
You know, Brother Coy, with you being a holistic healer and with with your track record, you might be in the next millennium before you die, bro. I don't see no disease taking. It won't be because of sickness.
Well, if I can get it to get there because of hard work, you're probably right. It's a lot of work, yeah. But it's fun, and you enjoy it.
You mentioned that the doctors put an ultimatum, like, you know, take this chemo or radiation or, you know, leave the hospital. That's a heck of an ultimatum, man. I mean, just for them to have just given up, you know, on her, and for her to go home with the thought in her head that I only got, you know, 6 weeks to live, she really had to, and I commend you, and I commend her as well, because there had to be something inside of her that really wanted to live. And I guess when you don't have anything to lose, you know, you're and your back's against the wall, you'll do what it takes. And she did what it takes. I mean, she listened to you, and as a result of her listening to you, she ended up with a testimony. And, I mean, just how were the doctors at the end once the, you know, you mentioned that as you kept going back, the doctors were amazed that she was still alive and that she was doing so well.
Yeah.
And the reason I asked this is because I interviewed Dr. Lathan, and she mentioned in one of the shows that we did that when she finally got word that, you know, all the tests had been run and everything that came back cancer, you know, negative, everything was, you know, she was cancer-free, she didn't get the joy from the doctors that she thought she would have got, you know, I mean, you know, you're curious. They didn't share her joy, so she got out of the office as quickly as possible because she wanted to be around people sharing her joy. What were the doctors when it came to your mother? I mean, when it was finally determined that the cancer was gone, did they see, they excited and happy for you, or how, what was their reaction?
Well, not really. They just when they can't have nothing else to say, they just say, keep doing what you're doing and come back to see us when you want to. And kind of left it at that. They didn't have no idea what had happened or how it happened, and I didn't try to explain it to them.
I know that's right, brother. Oh, that, again, to be such a joyous occasion. I can only imagine on the way home from the last test when it was determined that it was cancer-free. I bet you it was a lot of praising going on in that car.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And so much so until she went into the ministry after that and preached for about 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite a transformation,
That is such a highlight, man. I mean, to be able, and even just for you, to be able to say, I did it. You know, I actually cured cancer. You know, I actually cured cancer. And you know what? Yeah. I remember somebody mentioned to me, just even when it came, because you have people that are really, you know, sticklers for certain ways of presenting information. They were saying, well, maybe you shouldn't say that he cures cancer. You know what I'm saying? Because only God can heal. And I'm like, well, he did cure the cancer. What to do? And he did it.
Yeah. Well, that's one way to look at it. But the FDA have some rules about what you can say and how you can say it, and you got to kind of be aware of that. Or they'll accuse you of things you don't even know you're doing if you don't be careful in terms of, if you don't know how to avoid that process. Yeah. But
well, let me say right here, let me do a disclaimer that Brother Coy, to all of the people who are listening, have any condition and you call him and he gives you recommendations, you're going to cure yourself, okay? If you follow the recommendations, you will heal you, okay? We're not purporting, you're not selling a pill that's going to heal you. Nobody's going to, you know, make any promises, but we can promise you this, that there's no downside to a holistic health lifestyle. Your health can only improve, and that if you follow his recommendations, whether you have cancer, arthritis, gout, tuberculosis, whatever, the COPD, then you will do the work to, you know, because Coy's not going to go buy the herbs for you, okay? Coy's not going to make sure you come over and juice and do the juicing for you.
Yeah.
You know, you're
going
to do that. Okay?
Yeah.
And so you will be able to stand and look in the mirror and, like Coy, be able to say, wow, I did it. I did it.
Yeah.
And then you'll want to go join some ministry and start preaching too. So,
yeah,
again, congratulations
happened,
on that,
man.
Brother Coy. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I was saying that that's what happened, but you have to watch your doctors now. They'll try to motivate you out of fear, and that's the worst position to be in. You don't want to ever make a decision out of fear. Whenever you get a decision of a terminal disease or any kind of disease that could be life-threatening, you want to do your research, first of all, get comfortable with it, and talk to the people that can tell you both sides of the story, and then you can make a better decision about which what you need to do. And you got to give yourself time to do that, because they'll try to rush you into the operating room or whatever they want to, whatever treatment they have for you, they'll want to rush you into it right away. And once you get in it, it's really too late. So give yourself time. It took time to get there, and give yourself time to get out and make sure you understand the processes you're going to take and how you're going to make that transition. But don't ever make a decision out of fear. That's not a good idea, unless it's a motivating fear that will lift you into another place. But that's the difference between fear and faith. Faith will lift you. Fear will crush you. So just be mindful of that in terms of whatever situation you face in life. Really, you have to be informed, get to know what you need to know, and then you can make a sensible decision about what to do.
Let me ask you this, Brother Coy, before we get into the COPD. Because of what was that lie ahead of your mother, she's looking at doctors giving her several weeks to live on the one hand, you know, she's gone home to, you know, prepare to meet her maker. And in the meantime, here you come to her saying, Mama, look, I guess I want to try something.
Yeah.
It's going to require you, though. It's going to require you. You're going to have to stop eating meat. You know?
Yeah.
You're going to have to stop dairy. You're going to have to stop doing sugar. You're going to have to doing all. How did she respond to that? How was her reaction to that? Because you were taking away a lot, and because the doctors, you know, didn't give her much time. It wasn't like you had a lot of time to, you know, gradually move her into it. You just had to go straight, you know, just
straight at it.
Go all the way with it.
Well, I mean,
you know,
she didn't have much choice. She didn't have much choice in terms of how she would do it. I mean, she was kind of in a helpless position, and, you know, we had to prepare her food. We had to do most of everything for her for a period of time there. And during that time was when you had, like, you could get things done or make some changes. But she lasted through it pretty good. She didn't fight it too much. And once she decided to live, she was willing to go through the process. And me going through it with her, I think it helped. And it helped me, too. So we helped each other through the process, and it worked out fine.
Awesome, awesome testimony, brother. I told you it was powerful. It was powerful. And again, for everybody that's willing to do the work, then this testimony, it can be your testimony too. So, now to the topic of the day. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, more commonly known as COPD. A lot of people are suffering. I mean, a lot of people are suffering from it. I was looking online and saw that over 30 million people suffer from this disease, and that's a lot of people. Brother Coy, so for laying the foundation, so that people understand exactly what it is, when the doctor tells somebody that they have COPD, what exactly is the doctor saying? What is COPD?
Well, it's a obstruction in the breathing process that comes about because of environmental pollutants, smoking, chemicals in the air or whatever you breathe in become enlarged in certain parts of the lung, and it cuts off its ability to transfer the oxygen that the body needs to live. So it's again, it's just a a kind of an inflammation that comes up, and it interferes with your ability to make oxygen, enough oxygen in the body so that you can provide the body the oxygen that it needs to make good, clean blood and to keep your body oxidized to the point to where you can function. When the disease comes down, it affects that process, and you go into a place where you can't breathe, or you have difficulty breathing, or you have shortness of breath, and all of those things is an indication that you have an obstruction in the respiratory system that you need to kind of work to clear up. You can do it in several ways, changing what you eat. You can exercise and blow more. But the main thing is going straight at that liver and getting those toxins and the environmental pollutants out of there so that the lung can do what it's supposed to do and transfer the oxygen that the body needs so that you will have, you can breathe. I mean, if you live on oxygen, and if your ability to make oxygen is obstructed, you're going to die. So you want to do whatever you can to get that respiratory system and keep that respiratory system functioning properly, or get it back to functioning properly, so you won't have a problem with getting the oxygen that you need in the body to prevent and obstruct the respiratory system from doing its work. So that's kind of what it is. You want to watch avoid the environmental pollutants. Now, I hear some people say that I never smoked and I never was around any pollutants that they know of, and I got the disease. Well, it can be a number of reasons for that, and there's no one good reason that you can attribute to the condition. But the main thing you want to do is make sure you understand what a healthy respiratory system should look like and what it takes to keep it functioning properly so that you don't get into that condition. And if you find yourself in that condition, understanding what you need to do to come out of it.
You know what's interesting? You said you have people that say, for example, that they never smoked and they got it. And then you have people who say, you know, hey, my mama, my grandmama, she smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day and lived to be 100 and never got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, some people are that
so
way.
So what are some
just
of the other contributing factors? You know, because you might have somebody that's just out of shape or obese or something, and they might just attribute their shortness of breath to just being overweight, you know, or just contributed to something else and not think that, okay, because I have some shortness of breath, they might think that, look, I'm 300 pounds, I don't expect to be able to run up and down the stairs, you know, so,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So if certain things that would require breathing and they figure, you know, if they, you know, fatigue quickly, they might just attribute that to being overweight. So would
lack of exercise, all the things that you need to do to keep the body functioning, anything that you're not doing can be a contributing factor. Drinking, smoking, not exercising, eating wrong, all of those things can build up and attack the system in the body, that any system in the body, but in this case it's the respiratory system, and it prevents it from producing oxygen that the body can use. And that can come from almost any condition that you find yourself in, from the air that you breathe, from the food that you eat, from the lack of exercise, improper functioning body, all of those things. Eating wrong primarily is probably one of the main things, and then not doing what it takes to keep the body clean. So I would say there's no one thing, but there are a number of things, that anything that you expose the body to that is toxic or not healthy can lead to a respiratory failure, and you want to be mindful of those things so that you can avoid the problem that may come down the road by through your lungs. Anything that deals with the lung, you want to make sure that you learn how to breathe, learn how to exercise your lungs, learn how to do the things that's necessary to keep it functioning properly, and you can pretty much beat that condition. And I would urge everyone to you know, do whatever you can to keep your body as clean as you can and to keep your mind sharp so you can be aware of what's going on with your body and being able to understand what to do when you have a condition that might lead to some disease. All of those things you have to really stay on top of to prevent some of these things. But, you know, most of the time we wind up going to the doctor and they give us a pump or a pill or something, and we get dependent on that, and we weaken ourselves even more in terms of getting off some of this stuff. And in some cases, that is necessary to go to these things to get through them, but you should always work to try to come off of the things as soon as you can so that you can avoid the process of going into a weaker state of disease. That's probably the best way to put it.
It's interesting that when you take people who have lived their lives disease-free for so long, for many, many years, you might take somebody that might not get COPD. It's, you know, the research says that, you know, normally people get it around 40 or something.
Uh-huh.
So you take somebody that's lived 40 years, and then now all of a sudden they've come down with COPD or any other condition, whether any other condition that would inhibit you from doing what you used to do without thinking about it, whether it's running, breathing, in this case, you know, dawns on you, the body, now the body is making itself, is screaming now, the body's screaming at you, you know, I can't breathe, you know, or I can't bend down, I can't run, I can't walk, you know, and it becomes, the body becomes an issue. Now, a daily issue is something that now, whereas you never thought about the body before, now that's all you do is think about the body, either because it's in pain or it's limited in its function. You can't do what you used to do. You can't do what you need to do. You can't go where you need to go. You know, you can't perform the things that you need, the functions that you used to do without even thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, you hear a show like this, and they say, you know, you can mean to tell me that I can reverse this just by changing my dietary habits? You know, I can actually change this condition. You mean to tell me I can actually get rid of COPD by changing my diet? I can get rid of cancer by changing my diet? I can get rid of heart trouble, you know, by changing my diet? I can get rid of cervical cancer by changing my diet? It seems unbelievable to a lot of people, because for a lot of people it's just too simplistic a remedy. You know, it's just like, you mean to tell me that's all I got to do? It can't be that easy. What do you say to that, Brother Corey?
Well, I say, well, if you won't know until you try it. Whatever you're doing is not working, so you need to do something different. And my best advice to them would be to take the time to sit down with the information and come up with a program and try it out on themselves and see what they think after it's over with. That would be the only sensible thing to do, since, you know, people just have a hard time sometimes understanding the simple things of life. But if you understand the body, understand what the body needs, and give the body what it needs, your body will respond. And the whole situation is understanding that process and what you need to overcome your condition. If you don't take the time to understand that, you're going to die sick.
So, Brother Coy, what is the difference then between COPD and, say, another lung condition like bronchitis or emphysema, you know, because I know that, you know, like you mentioned, there's really one disease, and that's mucus, and that, you know, when you, you know, have a bad diet, you know, it's going to manifest as a lot of different things. But would COPD just be a more severe case, say, of or severe condition, or the same condition, but just taken to a whole other level as, say, bronchitis?
Probably a better way to understand it is say that COPD is like the topic, and all these other diseases are just different stages of the condition or might affect different areas, affect the lung or the respiratory system in different ways. But they all constructive obstruction of the pulmonary system. So it's not so much that they are different. They are all the same thing. They just give them a different name. In fact, that can go across the board to most any condition that you heard of. They all come from the same thing. You don't have to the specification of it is not as important as understanding the process by which the body gets sick and how to reverse that. And no matter what you call it, you can reverse any disease that you might have encountered in your lifetime if you know how the body works and what to give it and let the body heal itself. That's kind of the process I would look at. But all those respiratory problems, the bronchitis, emphysema,
asthma,
all of those all those things that attack the respiratory system is an obstruction of the pulmonary system, and you can do different things or the same thing in most cases to, you know, make that process a little better for your body if you do the right thing.
Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. If you have a question, all you have to do is press 1 if you're listening by phone, and if you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. Brother Coy, any thoughts on why that the people, again, the statistics show that people normally, the average age of people coming down with this condition is around 40, but you have, like you mentioned, a contributing factor is smoking, but you have people smoking in their teens. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So you would think
that yeah.
it wouldn't seem like it would 20 years, you know what I mean, for the lungs to break down, you know. Why do you think it's around that age that most people are coming down with it?
Well, that's just the age progressing. I mean, you can do something for 10 years maybe and it not affect you too much, 20 years maybe, even 30 years maybe. But when you hit 40, your body is, you know, if you've been doing the same thing and not really taking care of yourself, things going to start breaking down. I mean, that's just the process of aging. The process of aging will cause you to break down into these different diseases. And no matter what you call it, it still comes from the same thing. Either a toxic environment or not taking care of yourself or not exercising or all something, it's going to be some attributing factor to what you're doing and what you end up with. And it takes some time for your body to break down. I mean, you didn't get there overnight, and it's going to take some time to break down, and it's going to take some time to heal. And that's the process. And that's why I say the best medicine is prevention. Just try to prevent these things as best you can by understanding how the body works and what the body needs, and work with your body in a way that you assist it in facilitating good health.
Well, let's talk about the role of diet in the condition we're talking about today, COPD. What role does the diet play in it? I know I would assume that dairy play a major, major role. Could you talk about dairy and as it relates to COPD and how dairy can affect the respiratory system?
Well, dairy is again you're talking basically the pasteurized milk and the processed cheeses. Those things, when you eat them, they go right into the respiratory system and it clogs up like glue. And it shuts everything down. It can shut down your heart. It can shut down your lungs. It can shut down your colon. Those kind of things are the things you need to stay away from, particularly the milk products and the cheeses. But usually in an emphysema or COPD case, you're usually dealing with unseen toxins in the air that your lung just is not designed to break down. So these toxins and these metals and these go into you breathe them in, they get lodged in the lung process, and you are looking at a process of getting like heavy metals out. You have to do a different kind of process. That doesn't doesn't necessarily come so much from your diet as it does from the environment that causes the smoking, the breathing dirty air, being in a environmental polluted environment. All of those things are more associated with a respiratory problem. Those heavy metals and those toxins, they, you breathe them in, they get clogged up in the lung, and whatever you want to call it, that's it, it comes out to be emphysema or bronchitis or COPD or whatever under that topic somewhere. And it interferes with the body's ability to transfer oxygen to the cell. So that's the probably the simplest way to look at it in terms of how do you in terms of your diet, if you want to really begin do a great thing or add something to your diet that would help with the process, you can add things like sea vegetation. Sea vegetation is kelp, spirulina, chlorella, or just a combination of sea vegetation. And we know that that sea vegetation will is like a magnet, and it will help pull some of those heavy metals and toxins out of the lung area in a way that it will be beneficial to help increase in your breathing capacity. So that's one thing you can add to your diet to help prevent or to improve that condition if you have it. Sea vegetation, and you also want to make sure you keep the inflammation down, and that's why I would use a lot of the non-acidic 5,000 milligram per teaspoon vitamin C. And then anything you do in addition to that can only benefit you even more. So that's kind of the process in terms of dietary considerations. You would have to make sure you add to your diet every day.
So somebody who might have a condition like COPD or any of the sub conditions like, you know, bronchitis or emphysema, if they did just what you said just now, they if they got to see vegetation and, you know, the vitamin C and all of that, and and stop the dairy and all of that, if they had any other condition, not only would they get rid of that, but it would prevent anything else from coming upon them as well. Would that be correct?
You got it. The light went off. That is. I mean, you just come to that realization, and you move yourself in a position to try it, and you try it, and it works. And then that's whatever proof do you need?
How about fasting, Brother Coy? Could you talk about what happens to the body when you fast, and how somebody, how fasting and juicing even would assist somebody that has COPD and is looking for ways in which that they can reverse it, in addition to, you know, the obvious, quit smoking if you're smoking, and, you know, you know, try not to be around polluted air, don't go around plants that are emitting, you know, toxic smoke, you know. But, how would fasting and juicing, what role would that play in this discussion?
Well, we tell them to stay out of the air and to eat right and all those things. But if you live in a condition that you can't do anything about, then it becomes a little bit more challenging to try to do these things. But if you are doing a fast, I would probably start, if you've never fasted before, I would probably start just by going raw for a while. Get a watermelon or fruit or whatever you want to eat that's got a lot of water in it and that can keep you flushing. Start with that first. Maybe if you never eaten raw for a while, do that for a couple of weeks. And then maybe go to juicing. Just get your juicer and juice and drink as much fruit or vegetable juices that you can make every day. Probably keep them separate. Do your vegetables together. Do your fruit together. Do that for another couple of weeks. And then maybe you'll maybe feel like you can fast. Then that's when you can begin to eliminate, maybe go eliminate everything but water. And then you can begin to take these supplements like the sea vegetation and the vitamin C to really flush, because you're not eating, your body is going to be in a mode to throw things out. So you want to facilitate that as much as you can. So you use the vitamin C, the colon cleansing, all of those things you start doing when you're on the fast, and you maybe want to do some enemas each day, maybe in the morning and at night for about a week or so until you get that stuff flushed out, and then you begin to feel a lot better and you can feel your lungs begin to work, and from there you should be fine.
You know, you mentioned enemas, Brother Coy, and we just recently, you and I just did a show recently, not too long ago, on fasting and enemas. And, you know, I noticed that after the show was over, I went back and listened to it, and one of the things that I neglected to ask you is what type of lubricant should somebody use? Because you're not just going to stick the stem, for lack of a better term, into your rectum without some sort of lubrication. What would be something that somebody could use to lubricate the apparatus so that, you know, they're not just sticking
it
in there dry?
Well, you could use anything like coconut oil. You could use olive oil. You could use maybe not so much a cream, but anything that's you got like a natural cream that doesn't have a lot of chemicals in it. But basically, we usually use an oil that's easy to just rub on, and a vitamin E you can use. All is a number of different oils or natural substances you can use to lubricate the tube so it'll slide easier. But the main thing is with the enemas is you got to do them and get comfortable with them so that you can allow your body to release that stuff back out. And I recommend when you have a terminal disease, I would think you want to do anything you can that might help. And enemas will help you keep that stuff coming out. And after some certain point, then you may, you know, go to another process. But initially, you want to do everything you can to get as much of the toxicity out of your body that you can, and enema is one of the ways to do that.
Can we talk about heavy metals for a moment? You mentioned heavy metals, you know, breathing in heavy metals. A lot of people, when they think of heavy metals, you know, they think of rock music, you know. So, what are heavy metals, you know, what do people need to know about that in terms of how that affects their...
They're really fine, tiny particles. It's really not like a rock or a piece of rod or something, but these are fine particles that's produced when metal meets metal, or you've got some situation where these little fibers come from the air, and we breathe them in. If they're light enough to float, and they're light enough for us to breathe in, and over time that builds up, and that's why we call it heavy metal. It's the buildup that we get that caused the problem. And from drinking the water, from eating certain foods, and just the environment itself, you can pick up these things. But there are some supplements out there that will help even pull those heavy metals out into the bowels and out. So I would always add that to a program if you have some kind of terminal disease.
Can you talk about water for a moment? Because it sounds like somebody with COPD, if they're inhaling heavy metals, if that's the case, if that's what was the cause of it, it sounds like flushing would help too, and that's even just from the preventive side. It sounds like flushing would go a long way in helping to not just reverse but prevent somebody being diagnosed with something like COPD. What role would water play in this discussion?
Water, you want to make sure it's a good clean water. Number one, a lot of the it's a lot of heavy metals in the water that we drink, and we want to make sure we get a good clean spring water, or maybe even a distilled water if you're on a fast or cleansing program, so that it will help break up those heavy metals and get them so that they can move, and then use the other stuff to push it out. But water is important, and the kind of water that you drink, you might want to be mindful of if you're on a fast. probably on a 2-week fast, you could during a fast, you could probably stay on distilled water for at least 2 weeks without too much worry, because you're going to be taking a lot of cleansing products, but you're also going to be putting a lot of the basic nutrition that you need back in the body as you fast. So you're really building up the body, and it's a good time to get the body to push these things out and flush them out. And water plays a major role in that. You should be drinking at least a half a gallon a day if you're a normal-sized person. If you're overweight, you want to work on trying to maybe get up to a gallon a day or more, or at least half your body weight in ounces. There's really no whatever you can drink. And you want to eat foods that are high in a lot of water, because that also helps flush, like watermelon and honeydews, all of those kind of things. And raw fruit, raw fruits and vegetables would be a good way to help the body pull those toxins and chemicals out of the body so that you can return to some kind of safe state of health. But, yeah, the water is important, not only during a fast, but even if you're not fasting, you should be drinking plenty of water a day. You shouldn't leave the house in the morning without drinking at least a couple of 16-ounce glasses of water. Boom. That'll help with your weight control. It'll help with your appetite. It'll give you energy and keep you from eating too much.
Let me ask you this about drinking water, Brother Coy, because you just mentioned drinking 32 ounces of water before you leave the house in the morning. Now, a lot of people be like, man, I can't do that, man. I'll be running. I had to pull over to the side of the road, man. I can't hold my bladder like that. Is it the same as with enemas? Like you mentioned with enemas, that you could, at some point, you can get to a point where you can actually hold the water within you and walk around with it and work and do some other stuff. And then,
yeah,
you know,
at least
when you're ready,
a 2-quart hot water bottle, you should be able to do that with an enema. Until you do that, you really haven't learned how to take an enema. But, yeah, as you build up your colon with the enema process and keep it, at first you may not be able to hold half of it, but you have to keep working with it until your body relaxes and you can get it in you. And once you get it in you, it's not like you got to jump up and run and drop it all out at once. You should be able to get up, walk around, and, you know, wash your dishes or whatever you need to do, maybe even a little light exercise. At some point you decide where you want to let it out, and you let that water come out at your will. When you get to that point, you have mastered the enema.
And would it be the same with just drinking regular water? I mean, just not as far as an enema, but just drinking the 32 ounces of water. Some people might feel like that would be very difficult, not before I leave the house. I could do it if I'm staying in the house, but if I got to go somewhere, that might be challenging, you know, to have to always make sure you buy a bathroom. I mean, so my question is, does it get to a point where you can eventually...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, does it get to a point where you can just, where you ultimately your bladder becomes strong enough for you to, I guess, hold the water so until you can safely get somewhere and not have to worry about, you know, an accident?
That's the idea. Most people probably drink 32 ounces of liquid before they leave home, but none of it is water.
Mm.
So they can hold that, they can carry that. But when it comes to water, it's just something about water that flushes out the toxins, that flushes the system and makes the system, your body needs water. It can't operate without water. And I'm saying the first thing you want to do is put the water in it. If you're having some problem, I would start on a day when you got a couple of days off. Maybe the day before, I would start drinking that half a gallon a day at least. And just see how your body feels. And as your body flush, it'll help flush that some of them toxins down, and it'll help strengthen the bladder, and it'll help strengthen the urinary tract so that you can do that. You can get up and drink a quart of water in the morning. Now, by the time you get to where you're going, yes, you'll probably have to go to the bathroom, but that's fine. That's the flush. That's the flush for the day. You know you have pushed it out. But without that, you are letting that stuff settle in you, and you're recirculating it in your system, and you're toxifying your system, and you get tired, you lose your energy, you get sick, you get disease, and you lead yourself into a place that's not good because of the dehydration of not drinking the water. Drinking coffee, drinking tea, drinking all that other stuff we drink, sodas, is not going to give you what water would give you. So you always want to put water first. Anything else that you think you can drink after that is probably okay, but if you drink a glass of water before you start drinking all the other stuff, chances are you won't drink the other stuff.
Well, which is your preference, Brother Quay? You mentioned distilled water when fasting. You know, there's a dispute in the holistic health community over which is better. Some say distilled, some say spring, some say, you know, distilled water has no minerals in it, so it's void of, you know, any health benefit, you know. Others say, you know, spring water is the best, you know. Then they say, but you can't find good, clean spring water. So which would be your recommendation, spring or distilled?
I would say a little bit of both. I'll agree that the water is distilled and there's no minerals in it, and that's not good to drink all the time, because if you do, you're pulling the minerals out of your body with your water, and you want to be careful of that. You would have to be taking a good supplemental program to, you know, counteract that. But because the distilled water is so clean and it's the cleanest water you can drink, it's probably a good idea to drink it often, because it does leach out some of the metals. It does leach out some of the toxins. It does help reduce the blood pressure. But to do it every day, you have to monitor yourself and make sure that you are not depleting the body of too many minerals. So I would suggest maybe every other week or every other day, you might do a little of both until you get to a place to where you feel comfortable with drinking it for a while, longer, 2 weeks at a time, or a month at a time. You can alternate back and forth with it during your cleansing season, particularly when your cycle comes, or that time of the month when your hormones act up. You may want to do the distilled water to help the body flush. Other times of the month after your cycle, and to help build up your energy level, you might want to start drinking water with a little more minerals in it, so you may go to the spring water. But the bottled waters, we are finding that there's a lot of problems with those that we haven't really considered yet, and the only other source we are getting to now is bottled water. If you don't get bottled water, you hardly get any water, and that's because people are trying to buy up all the water in the world, and it doesn't make sense to me, but that's what people are doing, and these corporations are doing, and they're making us drink this water without giving us any real information about the side effects of what they package it in, like the plastic. Is it leaching into the water? Is it creating some other problem? So you want to vary your water as much as you can, maybe some spring water, maybe some distilled water sometime, and maybe you might want to drink some, if you're out and you want some water, you might drink out of a plastic bottle. But you have to just be mindful of what's happening with the water, and keep it moving. The distilled water will help flush out anything that's left from the bottled water or the spring water, and the spring water help put back some of the minerals, but it also may bring back some of the heavy metals. So you have to vary it so that you can keep things flushing. And if you can get to a place to where you can do that, I think your water situation will clear up.
What about reverse osmosis? Is that what it's called? Reverse osmosis water, where they
actually have a process.
Is that good?
People
use it in holistic. I've never used it, but what are your thoughts on that?
Reverse osmosis is a good way to clean the water out of a faucet or something. But the problem with it is, like, you waste twice as much water as you save or that you can make. So you want to, maybe something like the Kangen machine might be a better option for water, since it has, you can set it for what you want and get what you want. But when you get into water filtration, It's going to be a process of maintaining it. It's going to be a process of, you know, if you want to make sure you change your filters. You don't want the machine to start recirculating toxins in the water that it's making. So you got to keep it upkeep. It's going to be the big thing with that, and keeping up with the parts to keep it running. So any way you look at it, it's going to be a struggle to get good clean water. The other option is to go to a place that actually provide water, like some of the health food stores you might find make water in their system. But again, when anybody else takes your water, you got to be careful with it, just to make sure that they're doing what they're saying, say they're doing, and that it's not just tap water ran through a filter. But you have to be careful about your water. It's going to take some study and some looking into the reports from the water system and all of those things, because we still haven't cleaned up the water in, where is it, in Detroit or where is it, in Michigan somewhere. That water is still not really cleaned up because it's a process and it takes time.
And that's Flint.
So we get Flint, Michigan, yeah. And to take water out of a river and try to clean it is much more complicated than maybe through the faucet, because through the faucet it has had some filtration, and it most of the time it's about as good as any other water you can drink. But the problem is they put the chlorine and all that other stuff in the water that we really don't need to have in the water, I think. But the water is important, and you really have to do your study on your water to make sure you're getting the best water that you can.
Well, brother, can we talk for a moment briefly about just people understanding that COPD can be reversed and be reversed? People have shown studies about, I'm sure everybody's seen pictures of a damaged lung, a lung that's been damaged from smoking. And then they show lung after the person quit for, you know, 3 weeks, 3 months, a year, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And it just, the lung went back to normal, you know. So COPD, that includes emphysema, bronchitis, all of that, your lungs can get back to normal. We're not talking about controlling COPD. We're talking about eliminating it. Would you agree with that?
That's correct. That's correct. You can eliminate it once you understand what it is and what you need to do to reverse it. It's just a matter of going through the process, and that's the way it is with any condition that you come up against. You have to go through the process, and if you go through the process, you're going to get good results.
You know, Brother Coy, I really appreciate just the many, many years that you've been on this path, sharing with people. You know, many people, I'm sure, have come to see you. Some people, because they listened and followed your recommendations, were met with their own testimonies, were met with success because they did it. They followed your recommendations to the letter, and as a result of it, changed their life, changed their lifestyle, saved their life. And there are others who hear this information, and they just, for whatever reason, maybe they just aren't there yet, you know, walk away, and some don't come back. And we oftentimes have people in our families, family members, people that we love, that we want to share this information with. We want them to get it. We understand, we've read, we've done the research, we understand that we have the answer, you know, to many conditions that people in our families have. You know, you might have people in your family with cancer, people in your family with diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, and you know that this holistic health path is the answer for them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to people who have that type of situation where they themselves are on the path and they have family members who they want to help and reach out to? Sometimes the family members, you know, meet them with resistance. What is the best way, you think, to go about sharing this information so that people that you want to help can get it? I mean, you don't want to beat them over the head with it, of course, obviously, but sometimes people are at a point where they might not have much longer to be on this planet if they don't change. What's the best way that you found over your almost 40 years of sharing this information, what's the best way to share it that you've gotten the best results with?
Well, I've learned through the years that you really can't make anybody do anything. They have to really come to a decision on their own, and they have to really want to take it on themselves. And until they get to that place, not much is going to change. That's addictions. Most addictions come out that way. The person themselves have to come up with the solution, with the determination that this is what I'm going to do, and this is what is going to happen when I do it. And until they get to that place, no matter what you say or do, they're going to keep going back to the needle, or they're going to keep going back to the doctor, or they're going to keep doing what they want to do. And it's not much you can do about that. So it's not so much about what you want for them, it's what do they want for themselves. And until they get to a place where they want something for themselves, I probably wouldn't waste a lot of time on them. I may go through the processes explaining to them what they need to do, and if they don't pick up on it or get interested in it, I can't stay there and make them do it. So that, I know that may not seem sensible, but we can't save everybody. Everybody's not going to be saved. And you have to learn how to spend your time working with the people that appreciate what you do and want to go through the process with you. And you find that the work becomes a lot easier when you do that. And it's much more rewarding because if I don't want to get saved, there's nothing you can do to save me. So we can't go there. That's up to God. We turn that over to God and let God handle that. And maybe at some point in their spiritual life, they'll understand what you've been trying to tell them, and they'll come around. But until then, there's not much you can do. You just got to let them go through the process of learning. And eventually,
and life
pray
will
for
teach
them.
You.
Yeah, life has a way of making you understand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Coy, please tell us about Secrets of Nature. As a result of you healing your mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon, changed your whole life. I mean, you had graduated from law school. I mean, it was all set to go out and become a lawyer.
Yeah.
And had God stopped you in your tracks and said, no, I want you to go down this road. And as a result of listening and going down another road, you ended up opening several establishments, and now you have Secrets of Nature, and you're healing everything in Washington. Everybody that wants to listen, everybody that wants to do better and is willing to do the work. I mean, you're there for them. Have been doing it for 37 years. Tell us about Secrets of Nature and how people can get in contact with you. You've got an awesome establishment over there, and I recommend it, everybody. If you've never tasted vegan, vegetarian food, or even if you have and you're not familiar with Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C., you got to get over there. I guarantee you, you won't want to leave, that's for sure. Brother Coy, can you tell them about your store?
Well, my whole idea was that, after doing the research with my mom and understanding how we get sick and what causes these diseases, I just felt that until there's a place where people can go and have a choice in terms of whether or not they want to eat meat, or the people that want to make that choice. If they don't want to eat meat, that should be a place for them to eat. And since animal fat is probably the number one cause of most of these conditions we're talking about, I tried to set up a menu that was not based on animal fat. There's no animal fat in my menu. So that's the whole idea behind the restaurant. And it is plant-based. And we try to do the supplements to help get the body to a place to where it can heal itself. And we have the bulk herbs, and we have the packaged or encapsulated herbs or tablets, and we have the body and skin care products. All of those things we do because usually the body and skin care products that we are usually exposed to, they're full of also animal product, and they also have heavy metals in them that goes right into you when you put them on, and they creaks a lot of these problems that we're talking about tonight. So we try to be a holistic approach to healing the body or keeping the body healthy by providing all these things that the body needs to function properly. We're located at 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20032. And you can call me on the phone, 202-562-0041. Any condition or any question that you might have about anything that I say, I'd be willing to talk it over with you or point you in the right direction in terms of more information. And that's what we do here. We just keep it moving. And through the food, through the supplements, through information, we keep it moving in terms of anything to do with holistic health.
And for those who are not in the Washington, D.C. area, and you figure, like, you're listening to this show and you're in Ohio somewhere, and you're like, shoot, man, I don't know when the next time I'm going to get to D.C. Well, Brother Coy can ship products to you. Isn't that right, Brother Coy? You don't have to worry
That's
about
right.
actually
mm-hmm.
coming to D.C. Go ahead, my brother.
Give me an address, I'll ship it, yes. Give me an address,
and
I'll ship it anywhere
serve.
In the world.
You still have the loose herbs? Because sometimes people say,
we have,
you know,
we still
I'm
have the, what they call
where...
the bulk herbs, yeah. A lot of people prefer those, and I've probably got the best selection around. So most any bulk herb that's available, I try to have access to it. I have it on the shelf, and I think I got most of them.
Do you have moringa as well?
Yeah, I have moringa.
Okay.
I have black seeds. I have all of that, all that stuff that people are looking for that's just beginning to become popular. I that's my specialty. That's, it's out there because I bought it out there.
Right. And you can come in there and sit down and eat. I mean, if you want to come
yeah.
there for lunch, you know, you serve breakfast. I mean,
yeah.
you got to get by there. He's got a wide selection that I guarantee you, your palate is going to thank you once you get by there. And I want to encourage everybody, again, as I mentioned, King Coy is a regular on Juwanza for Life, and we've talked about so many different holistic health topics. I mean, we've talked about reversing diabetes, reversing cancer, reversing gout, reversing erectile dysfunction, reversing arthritis, reversing lupus. We've done shows on before you have surgery. I mean, just all you have to do is just scroll down the archives, okay, and wherever
yeah.
you see Brother Coy's name, just click it, and I guarantee
yeah.
you that you're going to get a lot of information. And again, I just want to thank you, Brother Coy, for all of the many, many years you've had to have. God has blessed you with a lot of patience. Again,
yeah.
because we can be hard-headed, stubborn, you know.
Yeah,
we want
yeah.
what we want. We want to eat what we want to eat, you know. Don't want to change, you know.
Yeah.
And for you to have, with all of these years, been patient with us and continuing to share with us, I want to thank you. I know sometimes it can be a thankless job, but again, brother, you have touched many, many lives. Only God knows how many lives
yeah.
lives that you've touched through your establishment, through sharing information. And brother, you're a true king, man. And I thank you for, you know, all of the years of you know, the love that you've shown us. And you know, I pray that God just continues to open doors for you and continues to bless you and keep you strong and healthy, because we sure enough need you, brother.
And you've come along and you've archived it, so now I can go and sit and go fishing, and they can listen on the radio to what I have to say. So I appreciate what you do, my brother. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Did we cover anything else you wanted to say about the COPD? Was that pretty much the foundation? So you've given people a lot here to chew on, no pun intended.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
was there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Well, just be mindful of the condition and understand what it looks like, so that when it happens, you can have some idea of what's happening to you. But it is a respiratory condition, and we do have too much asthma and too much breathing problems in our young people, and now it's getting to the older people. It's just we're not breathing enough. We're not breathing properly, and what we are breathing in sometimes can be harmful. So we have to learn as much as we can about what kind of oxygen we need and what we need to do to get that oxygen in us, and so it can transfer into the blood cells and give us good health. But that is the beginning, that if you don't get that oxygen in there, you're going to be running a risk of a lot of other conditions that you don't want. So I would encourage everyone to take their respiratory system seriously and do whatever you can do to reinforce it or to keep it working properly so that you don't run into these kind of conditions.
Everybody, I'm going to give Brother Coy's number again. Please write it down. Stick it on your refrigerator. So, again, Brother Coy just said you can call him anytime, okay? So if you have a question about holistic health, if you've gone to the doctor and the doctor's given you a bad report and there's just something inside of you that's saying, I do not feel comfortable taking what the doctor is prescribing me, give Brother Coy a call, okay? And that telephone number is 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. You know, a lot of times people find themselves in places where they just never thought that they would ever be in their life in terms of their health. You know, they remember, they're looking at the photo album of themselves playing football or, you know, whatever, doing whatever it was. And they're looking at themselves, sisters looking at themselves in the high school yearbook, and they're like, dang, I remember when I was a size so-and-so, you know. Well, you can get back to that. So you can get back to that, brother. You can get rid of whatever the condition is, whatever the doctor says you have, you can get rid of. Like Dr. Ruby says, if you can get it, you can unget it. But you got to do what is necessary to do. And so, again, please scroll down the archives. Check out all of these different shows. You know somebody with diabetes? Do you know somebody that's got cancer, that's got gout, that's got lupus, that's got breast cancer? These shows are in the archives, okay? And rather than try to explain it the way Coy explained it, let Coy explain it for himself. Just give him the show, you know? And as Brother Coy said, that's, once you've done that, you can't make them listen. You can't make them call. But once you've done that, you've done so much just in that act, just in the act of sharing. You've given something. You've given a gift, a gift of love, a gift that's powerful, a gift that can actually save somebody's life. So what more can you do? If you've given somebody a gift that can save their life, then, you know, I applaud you for what you do in helping to share and to spread this information to all of the listeners who share. Thank you so much. You are helping to heal this planet by sharing this holistic health information. And so I thank you. Again, welcome to all of the new listeners. Brother Coy, I'll be in touch, my brother. Thank you for another awesome interview, my brother. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Yes, sir. I say the same. Be peace. God bless.
God bless. Everybody, that's King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Make sure that you give him a call. Again, that's 202-562-0041. Again, don't let the fact that you might not be in the D.C. area dissuade you from contacting Brother Coy. Brother Coy can ship whatever it is that you need to him. Call him up and find out what it is that he has that you want. And, again, take his recommendations. Again, now remember, you're going to do the work, okay? Brother Coy can't juice for you. Brother Coy can't fast for you. Okay, these are things that you're going to do for yourself. And you know what? When you've embarked upon a holistic health path, you need people that are going to reinforce what it is, this lifestyle change that you've made. And so Juwanza for Life was created with that in mind, so that you can have a place where you can actually come and listen to shows by different people that can really help assist you in your walk, whether it's the holistic path, whether it's the spiritual path, the entrepreneurial path. I mean, that's what this show is about. So, again, you have a place where you can come, okay? We welcome you. We open the doors, embrace you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And remember, you can do this. You can do this. For all of the people that have made the choice to walk the holistic health walk, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Wow, isn't it a beautiful thing to be able to move, to be able to breathe freely, to be able to go to the refrigerator and if, without being pushed to the refrigerator because you're in a wheelchair? Well, you know what? This can be everybody's life. if they're willing to do the work. So thank you all for sharing the information. And who am I? My name is Juwanza. I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Peace.